Open the eyes of our hearts that we may see you, that your word may be implanted in us, that we, Lord, would walk in light and shun the darkness of this age. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Our meditation is based on our epistle lesson this morning, where Paul says, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but wise, making the best use of our time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." And just as in the first century, when Paul says the days were evil, we live in a culture today where the days are evil and full of darkness. And we see the darkness of our culture most noticeably by the current moral and spiritual malaise as evidenced across our nation and throughout society. Individuals everywhere seem to have abandoned truth, decency, honesty, purity, and uprightness. No longer is there anything called natural law, which governs societies, that has been governing societies for thousands of years. Rather, it is the autonomy of the self. It's me that matters, and not my neighbor. And we live in a culture where there's no longer any absolute truth or any basis which by the judge morals or behavior. Truth becomes a matter of one's own opinion or a collective agreement of the group or the dictate of the state. And we're no different today than the Israelites at the time of the judges, where it says everyone did what was right in their own eyes. And the evil in our culture really has overwhelmed our society. The family unit, the church, particularly focusing on our relationship with God and issues that pertain to eternity. No longer do we talk about sin in judgment. Sin is no longer considered transgression against the holy God, but rather a social construct, an imperfection that we can make right. We can parade our sin and evil ways in front of a God, and that's acceptable because he gets us. And the attitude in our culture is that if there is a God, he's our cosmic bellhop, approving everything one wants to do in their own eyes. We see in our culture today that evil is promoted, darkness is promoted in the movies, in the novel, the media, even government, where life seems to have no meaning other than what you want it to be, or ending in despair. We see how marriage has been destroyed as an institution that was ordained by God. And hear this, when the family unit is destroyed, a whole society is just going downhill. And that's kind of where we're at today. And the attitude today in many of our churches is that sexual immorality, the homosexual lifestyle, same-sex marriage, transgenderism, they're all acceptable in God's eyes, even though the Bible says it's sin and a stench in God's eyes. I recently saw on the news this week a politician who's actually a seminary student, supposedly, who said that God is binary and that God gave Mary a choice when he announced through the angel that she would conceive and to bear a son. In other words, this gives evidence that God condones abortion in the Bible. This is an abomination and a lie from the pit of hell. But see, this is where we're at today. And we need to realize this. God's calling us to be children of light and to walk in the truth. and discern that which is error. We are to be different. As Paul says in the beginning of chapter 5, and listen to this, but he says to the church, he says, but sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness should not be named among you, as is not proper among the saints. Let there be no filthiness or foolish talk or crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. And he says, but you can be sure of this, Ephesians, and we can be sure of this today, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Wow, that's some tough language, isn't it? And you know, even as Christians, we struggle with those same sins: sexual immorality, impurity, coarse language, covetousness, idolatry, every day. But here's the difference. Because of what Jesus has done as our Savior, we do not embrace that. We are called to be light. We are called, as Paul says, to be imitators of God, to walk as the children of light. Then you notice Paul pivots in his lesson today, and he says, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but expose them. We all were once children of darkness, but God has brought us out of darkness through our baptism in the Holy Spirit to make us different so that we may walk in the light and be imitators of God. How do we do that in this culture, in a culture where we're surrounded by evil and darkness? Well, we saw in the children's sermon just recently that Faith gave that, you know, we go into a room that's very, very dark, and you can have a small little flashlight, and you turn it on, and the light goes through the whole room of darkness, and you can see. That's how it works. Jesus said in our gospel, I am the light of the world. And he also says in John, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And John also says in his first epistle, if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. You see, to become our light meant that Jesus had to be condemned and crucified by those in darkness who he had come to save. He hung on a cross to be forsaken by the Heavenly Father as he suffered punishment for our transgressions. He took upon himself our sin that we might become the righteousness of God, that we might become light. You see, God's eternal decree said, the soul that sins shall die. And we've all been infected with that thing called sin from our birth. And Satan would come, and to God, if Jesus had not come, he could say, hey, didn't they sin? And God would have to say yes. Well, didn't you say they had to die? And God would say yes, because God cannot go against his character of holiness. His law was broken. So God sent us Jesus to lay all our transgressions on him, the perfect sacrifice, who had no sin, when he died in our place, bearing our guilt, the curse, paying the penalty as the sin bearer, that we might become the righteousness of God and we might walk in the light. What love! What depth of mercy! All the darkness he endured, taking it with him into the dark grave, burying it there, leaving it there and rising above it in the brightness and splendor of God's glory on Easter morning by rising from the dead. And because of this, our light is in Jesus, not in the world. Because of Jesus' death and resurrection for us, we now have a new relationship with God by faith. He now grants us the Holy Spirit and power so that we can walk in the light. And by that new relationship, we take hold of the promises of God. And because of our relationship with Jesus, we no longer embrace darkness. Paul says we expose it and we say, I'm done with it. Because of what Jesus has done for me. His light shines through us so that we, and he says three things. We can bear the fruit of goodness, meaning doing the right thing. We can speak the truth in love as we serve our neighbor and live in Christ's righteousness. He never said it would be easy to live in this sinful world without his presence. Yet he gives us the spiritual strength to endure as we wrestle with that sinful nature every day. And that's what Lent is really all about, is a continual daily walk of repentance and faith. Repentance and faith. Think to God, you know, I sinned again. Yeah, well, you're forgiven again. Now walk in the light. And we walk in the light when we hear his word. His word is powerful. It changes us. When you spend time in the word, and when you spend time in prayer, crying out to God for your needs and the needs of others. We walk in the light whenever we come to this table to receive his true body and blood. And we are assured of the forgiveness of all of our sins. Our faith is strengthened. So where are you at this morning? You find yourself surrounded by darkness instead of light? Are sin and guilt weighing you down? Worries and fears that don't seem to go away? You feel at times that God has forgotten you? Maybe you're overwhelmed by doubt and temptation. Maybe you want to feel like, where is God? There's so much darkness. But brothers and sisters, remember that Jesus is your light and will never leave you nor forsake you. The psalmist says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? And the prophet says, and I like this verse because I take this verse right. Though I sit in darkness at times, you are my light, Lord. You are my salvation. You've got this. You've got everything under control. This Lenten season, Christ offers himself to you, the light to remove the clouds of sin, sorrow, suffering from your soul, to take away your guilt and shame, and to give you rest and peace, that you may walk in the light and repel all of the darkness by his power and his grace. Oh, as the hymnist once said, you, O Christ, are my light. I shall not walk in darkness, but in the light of life. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us rise.